Where the rumbleweeds.
Well, Mother, what wonderful entertainment have we got for tonight, then?
Well, you can have a choice. Do you fancy wrestling? Or a hot-blooded drama? Or is exploring the human body? And how about this, if you're prepared to stay up late? Some of that naughty ex-certificate stuff.
No, I don't fancy any of that, Mother. I think I'll watch television instead.
There's the three of us, young as we are, we're really coming across. For the three of us,
sing like a harp,
look like wet, wet, wet and rough.
Well now, Mr. Simpkins, all the tests have been completed, and I'm pleased to tell you everything looks favourable.
That's what I keep telling you, Doctor.
Physically, you're in better health than I am.
I've never felt better.
You passed the mental agility test with flying colours.
It were a double.
You scored perfect marks in the word association.
Well, that was the easiest bet.
And your score in the Mensa test defies belief.
Well, I told you I had all my marbles, Doctor.
Then why on earth are you still driving around with a stupid red nose on the front of your car?
I'm sexy, I think you should know. You'll have to imagine how sexy he is, because this is a radio show. Where's the
drum well, Mr. Robbins, welcome to the West Duffeldyke Slag Handlers and Bolt Cluggers Sports and Social Club. As you can see, the whole committee is here before you, so we'd like you to take the next 30 seconds to demonstrate your talents to us. Off you go.
Thank you.
Very, very good, Mr. Robbins. There's only one snag.
What's that?
Well, you've actually applied for the position of honorary treasurer.
There's the three of us doing the job, taking the knocks on the chin. Yes, the three of us, Graymo and Rob.
Graham.
Maurice.
And Robbie.
And over now to our resident astrologer, Russell Plant.
Yes. And today we find mighty Saturn opposing fiery Mars in Taurus. Neptune is passing through Capricorn, which brings conflict with Jupiter. Meanwhile, loving Venus is lying majestically in dreamy Pisces, bringing calm and tranquility to all around.
So, Russell, what do we conclude from this?
Liverpool and Spurs home win.
Oh, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the last show in this present series of Someone and the Grumbleweeds.
Oh, did you hear what he said, Geoffrey? This is the last show in the series.
I did, Ernest, and I'm heartbroken.
Well, so am I, Geoffrey.
What are we going to do next week?
I just don't know. We can't go back to the Flower Club after what you did to Mrs. Nicholson's red hot poker.
No. Yes.
7 years it'd take me to get them to that size, and what did you do to them?
I sat on them.
You did, yes, sat on them.
11 weeks I've had to listen to this garbage. 11 flipping weeks.
Oh, Geoffrey, do you fancy doing yoga?
Oh, I do, Ernest, especially if it's that peach and passion fruit flavour.
He's talking about yoga, you duck egg, not yoghurt. Yoghurt!
Oh.
Look, don't let's fall out on the last show of the series, Uncle Nasty.
You're right, old gaffer. It should be a time for celebration.
Exactly. So why don't we introduce this week's guest?
Good idea, Olaf. Is he popular?
He certainly is. He's popular. He's charming. He's witty. He's courteous. In fact, he's the perfect gentleman. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our very special guest on this last show of the series, the popular, the charming, the witty, and the courteous. I've forgotten his name.
It's Nicholas Parsons, you idiot.
It's Nicholas Parsons, you idiot.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for that wonderful, heartwarming welcome. But what else could I expect from such a distinguished and discerning audience as yourselves?
On behalf of us all, Nicholas, can I say what a pleasure...
Audiences do vary, you know, but I must say, you do look the most intelligent and the most astute audience I have played to for a very long time.
You see, I think Uncle Rubbish was trying to welcome you to the show, Nicholas.
Yes, a very warm welcome from all of us.
And so, in the true tradition of our business, may I say to each and every one of you sitting out there on your lovely plush seats, welcome to this, the first in my new series of Nicholas Parsons Radio Spectaculars!
You see, Nicholas, I just wanted to welcome you and...
The BBC, what did he say? Have decided at last...
He said, welcome to the Nicholas Parsons Radio Spectacular.
I don't believe it.
There must have been some sort of mistake.
But don't just let him waffle on. Do something.
Yes, couldn't affect.
I shall be displaying as many aspects of that talent as it is possible in half an hour. And so, to open the show, I have decided to give you, my lovely, lovely audience, a reading from the works of that immortal writer, Charles Dickens.
Excuse me, Nicholas.
It's on the left. I've chosen for my first extract a scene from his classic novel, Oliver Twist.
Look, Nicholas, have you got a minute?
I'm sure you all know one of the most famous scenes in Oliver Twist. Do you know that scene? Now, this is where young Oliver bravely walks up to Mr. Bumble and asks for more.
Parsons, will you belch up?
I beg your pardon?
Just what do you think you're playing at, pal?
I'm not playing at anything, my dear fellow. I'm entertaining this most intelligent audience with a reading from Charles Dickens on this, the first program in my new spectacular radio series.
But, Nicholas, this is the last show in our present radio series.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. This is my show!
Look, Parsons, we've got 11 shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've done 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the 11th, right?
Wrong. You've got 10 shows.
No, lad. 11? They definitely said 11.
Didn't you get a copy of the letter?
Letter? What letter?
Oh, well, that explains why you didn't know about the Director General's change of plan. Look, here's my copy of the letter. Now, be good, lads. Go and sit in your dressing room or somewhere and just read it. And if you want to stay and listen to my spectacular show, by all means do. I'm sure that you will enjoy it. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so sorry about that. Imagine the scene. Portly Mr. Bumble at the head of the dining hall table.
What does the letter say?
Yes. Come on, what does it say?
Hurry up, rubbish, and read it out.
My dear Nicholas, I am very worried about one of my radio shows.
Oh, heck.
The listening figures for the Grumbleweeds have plummeted. And last week, only 14 people tuned in. And that included 5 foreign tourists who thought they were listening to the weather forecast.
This is terrible.
Can you step into the breach and bring back the listeners with your own brilliant, inimitable, spectacular style? I can think of no one else better equipped to do the job. P.S. Thank you for the loan of your caravan at Llandudno the last 2 weeks in August. I left the key under the mat.
Well, that is disastrous.
Oh, I don't know. I quite like Llandudno.
You fool, we're finished. Don't you realise that, don't you? We're finished, we're done.
The humiliation.
14 listeners.
And 5 thought we were the weather forecast.
I can't believe it.
Nor can I. We might as well pack us bags and get off.
Hang on a minute. I've had an idea.
It's too late for ideas.
No, it's not. Where's the nearest phone box?
Outside in the corridor.
Right. You go back and join Nicholas and leave everything to me.
All right, then. Come on, everybody. Follow me.
And little did Oliver realise the danger that lay ahead. Thank you very, very much, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, you must have read the letter.
Yes.
And you understand now.
Yes.
Splendid, splendid. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I thought a little poetry would follow my reading from Dickens, so I have chosen... Oh, excuse me. Hello?
Hello, Nicholas. It's me, The Director General.
Oh, hello, sir. I'm sorry. Just a moment, sir, while I kneel down. I'm sorry. It didn't sound a bit like you, sir.
No. Hi. Well, I've had this cold, you see.
Oh.
I caught it in your caravan at Llandudno.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry about that, sir. I kept meaning to have those broken windows repaired. Did you leave the key under the mat, by the way?
Yes, I did.
Oh, thank goodness for that. Yes, carry on.
Anyway, the thing is, Nicholas, can you just drop everything and get to the Albert Hall straight away?
Drop it? But I'm in the middle of my show, sir.
Yes, I know, but this is very important. You see, you've been named Radio Personality of the Year.
Again?
Yet again, and the award ceremony starts in 10 minutes.
Oh, I see, but that's absolutely marvellous. I mean, that's just marvellous. But what about the show, sir?
Oh, yes, the marvel of the show, yes.
Yes.
Well, are those lovely lads, the Grumbleweeds, still there, Nicholas?
Yes, they are.
Grand lads. Right, I like them all, yes.
Oh, good. Listen, yes.
Will you do us a favour? Introduce them as your special guests.
Yes.
Right. Go and collect your awards.
Yes.
And get back as soon as you can.
Oh, I will, sir. I will, sir. Any time you want to go to Canada, you've only got to say, sir. Gosh, Oh, just a minute, sir. I thought you said their listening figures were disastrous.
Oh, no. We found a discrepancy in the adding up.
Oh.
No, yes, completely wrong.
Oh.
It wasn't 14 listeners they got.
Oh.
It were 23.
Oh.
So it's not as bad as we thought.
No,
anyway,
no.
You must go, Nicholas, otherwise you'll miss your award.
All right, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you very, very, very much, sir. Yes, sir. Goodbye, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, the Nicholas Parsons Radio Spectacular aims to bring you the best and only the best. So will you please welcome my special guests, the Grumbleweeds.
Is playing, Jeffrey.
Yes, it's our song, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Let's sing it for the customers.
Right. Now, this is my friend Ernest.
And that's my friend Jeffrey there.
And we have been up half the night just thinking what to wear. What have we been up half of thinking what to wear?
Tonight.
Yes, and how much have we been up?
We have been up half.
That's right. Why must you walk like that? Why can't you walk like this? Anyone who sees you will think something is amiss. Lovely purple jumpsuit, super pink cravat. But now you've wrecked the whole effect. Why must you walk like that?
Why must I walk like what?
Well, like that.
I thought you were supposed to be my friend, Jeffrey.
I am your friend, Ernest.
Oh.
Yes, that is my friend, Jeffrey. This is my friend, Ernest, here. And people always stare at us whenever we appear. He lets me down and shows me up when we're out on the town. What do you show me?
Oh.
Yes, and what do you let me?
Down.
Must you walk like this? Why can't you walk, Comstar? You have not got what the French would call je ne sais quoi. Cardigan is crimson, shirt in clematis. Your colour scheme is just a dream, but must you walk like this? Why must you walk that way, or will you never learn? I get so embarrassed, I don't know which way to turn. Though your slacks get tighter, it's on a summer's day. The talcum powder's working now, so will you walk this way?
Let's go to the party.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello, this is Nicholas.
Oh, hello, Nicholas.
Look, I think the Director General must have got the wrong time. There's obviously something happening here because there are thousands of people, but no sign of my award.
Oh, would you like us to keep the show going a bit longer then, Nicholas?
Oh, I say that's awfully kind of you. I mean, I'll get back just as soon as I've received my award.
No problem. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Right, old gaffer, what do we do now?
There's only one thing we can do now.
Ladies and gentlemen, a book at bedtime. Daphne and Rodney entered the house by the French window. Lucky for us, my husband forgot to lock them, whispered Daphne, as they stealthily crept across the dining room to where the family silver was locked away. Whoever thought it would come to this, murmured Daphne. Stealing my own family silver from my own house.
Will your husband be asleep, asked Rodney.
Certainly, said Daphne, but we mustn't make a sound.
He's such a light sleeper.
Excuse me, Graham. I'm sorry to bother you, but they've just rung up from the transmitter. It's on the blink. Can you give us a bit more voice?
Yes, yes, of course.
Thank you.
I can't wait to get aboard that aeroplane and take you away from this vile man, said Rodney. I do love you, Daphne.
I'm sorry, pal. It's getting worse. You're going to have to give us more volume. Will you please project?
More volume.
Thank you.
And I love you too, Rodney, said Daphne silently. Quickly, whispered Rodney in the darkness. Tell me the combination of the safe, but for goodness sake, do it quietly. All right, said Daphne. These are the numbers. 3, 6, 7...
I'm sorry, pal, it's no good. You will have to give us more voice. They can't hear a thing at the transmitter.
Yes, okay. Daphne's voice was barely audible as she continued reading out the number. 6, 4, 8, 3. I can't hear you, whispered Rodney. I can't speak any louder or I'll wake my husband. We mustn't wake him, my angel.
No, we mustn't, replied Daphne. He's got a gun at the side of his bed.
Look, pal, give it one more try, otherwise the listeners will not hear a thing.
I'll do my best.
Thank you.
Daphne got closer to Rodney. Her lips were touching his ear as he turned the combination lock. Keep your voice down, Daphne, he whispered. Your husband's room is on the other side of this thin wall. Right on, darling, whispered Daphne. 7, 9, 3, 2, 4. It's no good, darling, said Rodney, barely audible. The lock must be broken. I'll strike a match, whispered Daphne. Oh, no, what is it, darling, Rodney whispered. We won't find any family silver by turning this knob. It's the flipping gas oven.
Hello?
Hello. It's me again.
Oh. Are you all right?
No.
Did you get your award?
No.
Oh. What happened?
Well, it all started to get very exciting. I went up to the roped-off area reserved for the award winners.
Yes.
Everybody cheered and clapped.
Yes.
And then it happened.
What?
Frank Bruno knocked me out.
Why don't we do a quality play?
Where do you get a quality play from?
Try this one.
Who's written this?
I have. And it's brilliant.
Hey, you could become a famous playwright.
World famous like Harold Pinter.
George Bernard Priestley.
Sure.
Positive.
And the other fella, he were a good one.
Oh.
Terence Ratatatat.
Well, I like the Bronte sisters.
Oh, yes, great the Bronte sisters were.
They were their best.
What was?
Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me.
What about D.H. Lawrence?
Aye, one of the best with D.H. Lawrence.
He plays Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree with anybody else but me with his orchestra.
There's been some good ones. What about Henry James?
With his trumpet playing Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree with anybody else but me, one of the best.
Shelley?
Shelley?
I think it's a Chinese drink.
It's powerful stuff, that Chinese, Shelley. Two of them and you'll be singing Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree with anybody else than me.
Well, you two, flame about, shut your faces. You haven't got a clue when you keep getting all the flipping names mixed up.
No, we don't, Sylvia.
What about your play, Uncle Nasty?
It will require an actor of vast experience.
I have vast experience.
You mean an actor who can take on any part at short notice?
I can take on any part at short notice.
An actor who's covered every facet of the theatre.
I have covered every facet of the theatre.
It needs an actor of depth and versatility.
I've got depth. and versatility.
An actor with a tremendous presence who can hold an audience spellbound.
I am an actor who can hold an audience spellbound.
An actor who places his art above everything else.
I place my art above everything else.
A true pro will work for nothing.
I'm a true pro who'll work for nothing. I'm sorry, no, I didn't hear that.
It's all right, Val, get on. What did he say your name was?
Nicholas Parsons.
What did he say his name was?
I think he said it was Miscellaneous Persons.
I thought he said Missing Parcels.
No, he said Mashed Up Parsnips.
Nicholas Parsons.
Him.
Who?
Miscellaneous, Nicholas Parsons.
Never heard of you. On your bike.
Never heard of me. Never heard of me. I will have you know that I have appeared in thousands of television programs, radio programs, films, the theatre, pantomime.
Oh, pantomime?
Every year.
I've got you now.
Me too.
Oh, yes, it was the pantomime that did it.
The best pumpkin we ever saw.
Pumpkin?
The best.
Let's hear a bit of your acting, then.
Right.
I didn't think much of that.
I hadn't started.
Now, that were better.
I wish I'd never opened my mouth.
That was great.
I don't have to take any of this.
Brilliant, that bait.
I've never felt so degraded in all my life.
He's really going for it now, isn't he?
Proper acting, that is.
Really, I've come on this show in all innocence. I've been asked to come on the Colonel Wheat Show. I come here before you three people, and whatever happens, I am insulted, I am degraded, I'm such. I face this marvelous, fantastic audience, and what happens to me? You think and they hit themselves on me, one after the other, they fall as big bricks on the heaven. But just my gracious God, yeah. Oh, Lord, heaven, all I do, I come on here to find that. I'm a poor innocent actor. I don't want to lose blood. All I want to show is a little people, a little appreciation, a little understanding, a little warmth, the back of it. Just now, I'm going to walk off his stage. And I will never, never return!
Cheerio. Well, now that we've got rid of that load of garbage, we can make a start.
Actually, I was only acting. I would like the part. And what's the play about?
The date says it all.
Yes.
September the 3rd. 1939.
My Uncle Herbert's birthday.
A play about the outbreak of World War II.
This play is about a person whose words stirred a nation during its greatest hour of need.
You mean I play the part of...
Please.
Words that are now part of our heritage.
Nobody did more for the morale of the British people than the inspiring words of this person.
Words that showed the true bulldog spirit. Words that lifted the people of this all-so-precious land to deeds of valour unsurpassed in our history.
Words that gave the British people untold courage during its darkest days.
What an honour to be given such a part.
A truly great honour.
I know who you mean. And I won't let you down, because I'm British. British to the core and proud of it. So let me begin. Let me begin now. Such is my pride in this great and noble country of ours that I cannot wait.
Then go and put this frock on.
I beg your pardon?
I hope it's the right size, Geoffrey.
Frock?
I think it'll fit him in a nest.
Frock? I mean, why do I have to wear a frock?
Vera Lynn always wore a frock.
You can sing Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree with anybody else but me, can't you?
Vera Lynn?
He sounds just like her.
No, but I can't let you go.
He's very good.
Come
up to see the light. Sherry the smile. Sherry the BBC mic. Yes, the three of us. Just for a while. Now we'll get back on our bike.
We'll see you next time.
Yes, we'll see you again.
So, tinkity-tum.
Bye for now.
Satisfy and TTFN.
From the three of us. Just the three of us.
There's me.
And me.
And him.
Last one, I didn't get a chance to say anything.
You have been listening to what I hoped would be the first in a series of the Nicholas Parsons spectacular radio show. In fact, it was the last in this series of Someone and the Grumbleweeds.
That's nothing like Verlin.
Yes, Graham, Morris, Robin were the Grumbleweeds, and I, Miscellaneous Persons, was Someone. The music was provided by Dave Collett, Perry Duke, Andy Marvels, with lyrics by Jeremy Brown. The script was by Eddie Braben, Ron McDonald, Richard Jones, John Brown, Stan Graham, and the producer, Mike Craig. Is there no chance of a series, Mr. Craig? I'd be ever so good.
Hey, Parsons.
Yes?
You can take the frock off now.